On Wednesday, we began a new series on prayer. Prayer, that incredible communication between you and I with God. I think often we've imagined that prayer has to be well-formed, articulate, beautiful, worthy of being cross-stitched and framed in the dining room. The kind of thing you could admire for years gone by. In reality, our prayer is often quite messy and authentic. Prayer that is every time that you and I reach out beyond ourselves in that whispering voice we have, sometimes shouting and waving our hands, sometimes hoping against all hope that someone will just say hello on the other side. Prayer as a string of words, a single word, or sometimes no words at all. This Lent, I am calling us all, our community of faith, to a time of prayer, intentional prayer. Now, my guess is most of us have some kind of a prayer life, particularly when there's intercessions to be made, when we know of someone who's in pain or hurting, in need or ill, we lift them up in some kind of prayer. But I think most of our prayers kind of slip by us unnoticed. The exclamations we have in the car when someone cuts us off, the quietness of desperation when we're kind of whispering within our souls, or the joy of a moment that kind of overflows. This Lent, I'm calling us to commit to intentional prayer. Each week throughout Lent, we'll focus on a different kind of prayer, and I want to invite you during that week to be particularly intentional about the kind of prayer that we talked about. So for this series, I found myself thinking about a book by Anne Lamont entitled Help, Thanks, Wow. She says those are the three essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. Now, I have to tell you, Anne Lamont is a very frank and authentic writer. She's rough around the edges if you pick up her book. She doesn't mince words about the background that she comes from, a place of addiction, and seeking hope in a world that's been kind of cruel to her on the whole. She suggests, though, that all of our prayers start in our hearts as one-word prayers. In contrast to the temptation we have, at least I do sometimes, to fill out long orations of prayers that go on and on, single-word prayers that bring our hearts to God. So on Ash Wednesday, we began with, oops, those kind of prayers in which we've messed up, either intentionally or unintentionally, sometimes but good and sometimes just an itty bit, and need the humility to say, oops, and to try again. I also want to say single word prayers are just as powerful as their lengthy cousins are. Prayer as a way of harnessing God's power for God's purposes. Prayer is clearly powerful. I was thinking about this when I caught some news about the Ohio State House. I don't watch Ohio politics too much, but this one caught my eye. Apparently, an invited clergy person opened the session of the House in Ohio. He began to pray and pray and pray, and he was still going at about 6 or 7 minutes. When in the video, you can see the Speaker of the Ohio House takes the microphone from him in the middle of his prayer and says amen and ushers him off the stage. Now, part of it was he'd prayed quite a bit and the speaker was ready to move on to the business, and part of it was he prayed for some specific things in that house. He prayed for God to move in the Ohio State House. And he also had some feelings about some particular legislation that was coming up as well. Prayer is powerful. Ask anyone who's ever asked the community of faith to pray for them in their time of need. Anyone who's known vulnerability and temptation and found themselves whispering help and hoping against all hope that God will answer that prayer. Certainly, as we talk about temptation this morning, Jesus knew temptation. This passage from Luke that John read for us begins many Lenten journeys, Jesus preparing for his ministry out in the wilderness, needing some help from his friends, so to speak, needing the temptations of bread and power, the temptation of security. Doesn't that sound good to all of us? All possible and achievable if only Jesus would say, sure, I will worship you to the devil, to the Satan, to the adversary. All these temptations seemed right and reasonable, explainable, justifiable, especially if you were a hungry person waiting for a loaf of bread. But Jesus grounded each response, did you catch it? To the temptations with Scripture. Each time he leaned on the Word of God to get out of temptation. But even this was not enough. In the last one, we had the part of Psalm that was read first in the actual temptation. The devil spoke to Jesus, but Jesus knew who he was, even in the midst of temptation, and held firm. We seek this too, don't we, when we have times of temptation? Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we beseech God to deliver us from evil. We ask God to help us. We ask God to help us each time we find ourselves in challenging situations. And sometimes when our own circumstances, our own actions, have put us in those places as well. We ask knowing that God has always been faithful and knowing that we're tempted regularly, perhaps even every day. You and I know temptations. Even when our temptations come in different forms, for some of us, temptation might come in the form of soothing our pain with alcohol or drugs, pills or needles. Some of us, our temptation comes from avoiding engagement with people, avoiding potential conflict, avoiding potential disappointment. For some of us, our temptation is power, holding it over people, wanting a little bit more of that, regardless of how it impacts those around us. Some of us, our temptation comes from seeking perfection. I don't know if this is big enough for you to read. Perfection, Anne Lamott says, is the voice of the oppressor. Temptation that harms our bodies and our spirits, tortures our minds, thinking there's only one way that we can be a child of God. Temptation to be something different than who God created us to be. Temptation to say, I'm not enough. And I need more from the world than God has given me. Temptation to lose the bits of faith that we've held together with paper clips and bubble gum, with hopes and dreams. Our temptations, just like Jesus, come when we find ourselves in the wilderness. Now, most of us probably aren't in the places where sand is blowing, or snow for that matter, or where rocks and gnarled trees are. We might be in the wilderness of the hospital room, desolate for hope, or in the classroom, hoping that things are going to come together when they haven't before. Our places of wilderness might be on the couch after having been kicked out from the bed. Our places might be driving away, not sure exactly where we're headed. Wilderness hits us not because we seek it not because we want it, because our humanity divides us from God. Our humanity divides us because we seek things that are not of God. And every time we do, every time we say, help, every time our identity is questioned, our soul is wearied, we come out on the other side. Further in the passage of Psalms, we get the image of God as a mother hen who protects and feeds her chicks, God who nourishes us and cares for us when we need it the most. I'm wondering if you caught the last line of the gospel lesson. It said, the devil departed until a more opportune time. If I was rewriting a paraphrase, I'd insert a little Arnold Schwarzenegger in there. I hear the devil saying, I'll be back. I haven't left for good. Temptations are not just for those who don't know God and who are young in their faith. You and I are tempted regularly, all kinds of reasons. It's for us to turn to God and whisper or shout, help. Psalm 91 reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength. When we feel like we can't hold on, when it takes more courage than we can muster, when not acting is easier than standing against that which is wrong. Help. When we find ourselves whispering quietly into the night, help. When we find ourselves shouting because we don't know what else to do, help. The psalmist uses the knowledge of God as refuge because the psalmist has fled from enemies, has been tempted, and has known when there is nothing else to give. In your bulletin this morning, there is a yellow sticky note. I think it's about halfway through the bulletin, and for most of you, as you walked into the narthex, you might have noticed there was a tree beginning to grow. It's on the wall in the sanctuary, in the lobby, excuse me. And you might have noticed there were some yellow sticky notes already hanging around it. Throughout Lent, we're going to add our prayers to this tree. Those prayers of joy and need, wows and thanksgiving. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to take that sticky note and a pen or a pencil, whatever you got, crayon in your pocket, and write a single word or a phrase. Where do you need God's help this morning? Where could you call out? Where do you need to call out help in the midst of this day? We'll take a moment to do that. After the service, I invite you to put your help on the tree. I promise that I'll be in prayer for them throughout the week. No names necessary. God knows already. If you also feel so moved to be in prayer for our congregation, please feel free to do so. Let us close in prayer. Generous God, we thank you and praise you for your compassionate nature. We praise you that you hear our calls and respond in love to our needs. We pray that as we know and experience temptation, that you will always give us an out. Give us courage to withstand the temptation to live beyond those temptations. Give us open-heartedness to live lives of kindness, thoughtfulness, and forgiveness. Help us as your people to be part of the promise to this world you love so much. Let us love and embrace the call you have on our lives to care for the others who are in need of help. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.